today, you will be with me in paradise. That's promising language. That's a promise. Today, you'll be with me. I don't know, but I'm assuming that you're looking forward to paradise. I'm assuming that you're looking forward also to heaven. Well, sometimes we think of forward not just as longing for something, but looking forward in the sense that, well, yeah, someday, you know, down the road. What St. Luke tells us through the lips of Jesus himself, today is happening right here, right now. I mean, the Jewish day begins at 6 p.m., and so it's no accident that for 10 years we've been worshiping at 6 p.m., 6 p.m., 6 p.m. This is Palm Sunday, a new day. Tomorrow, when you came to church tonight, right? But now suddenly you say, wait a minute, what happened? It's today. So heads up, what is it as we move from the hosannas? The blessed is the King, Luke says. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace. Peace in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Like the birth of Jesus. Today. Today. And then as we unfold the gift that God has given us for tonight, we then will end our service tonight, today, with what? A reading from St. Luke's Passion Narrative. It prepares us for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, the Te Deum. And then Easter Sunday morning. But it already begins today at 6 p.m. Saturday night. Isn't our Lord amazing? What he does, what he gives, the gift, the celebration of today. I mean, some people are so preoccupied about tomorrow or next week or next year. But today is a gift. Open it. Embrace it. Celebrate it. And do it prayerfully. I mean, that's what we see in our passion narrative for tonight. The repentant thief, he has a petition. He has no claim upon Jesus, but he simply says, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Hosanna, blessed is the King today who comes in the name of the Lord. Today the Lord has made. We rejoice, we're glad in it today. Remember how this story unfolds? I mean, Jesus is being led to the skull, Calvary, the place of execution. And everyone is taunting and mocking him. The religious leaders, the soldiers, they're mocking and taunting. And there's two thieves, you know, one on each side of Jesus. And one of them is mocking as well. And the phrase they keep saying is, save yourself. Save yourself. And us too. But they're not talking about save us for eternity. They're mocking Jesus. And they're asking him to be self-preoccupied, self-preserving, to not worry so much about others, but to put self-interest and himself first. Which, of course, the King who reigns from a cross is not willing to do because of his forever love for you, because of the depth of God's love for sinners that are called to repentance, that are called to forgiveness, that are called to eternal life. Zoe, not just biology, bios, but eternal life. They're taunting him. And we have one on the left and one on the right. One on the left, now he's kind of hard-nosed. And he reminds us, I believe, that there are some that even to the very last moment of life here on earth, harden their hearts and refuse to have Jesus reign in their lives. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people could blaspheme the Holy Spirit and turn their backs on something so amazing, something so wonderful like the gift of today, the gift of Jesus, his body and blood shed as an atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. Who does that? Who turns their back on him? So for the Unitarian Universalists who believe, well, just be sincere and believe whatever you like because we're all going to the same place. Well, no, that's not true. There's no foundation for that. But the repentant thief reminds us what? It's never too late, right? I mean, we've got this bios. And a person can say, yeah, but look at what I've done in 50 years, or look at what I've done in 75 years, or oh, my whole life, I did this. You know, they're keeping score of all their sins as though it was an achievement list. How could God ever forgive someone like me? Oh, so your sinning is greater than God's ability to forgive? Really? Really? God is sovereign, not me, not you. Today plays out so beautifully in the Gospel of Luke. So I want to trace today with you. Heads up. It happens for the first time at Christmas. Today is born a Savior for you in the city of David. And a sign is given. And the angels all sing, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. Today, remember Jesus' first sermon, Luke chapter 4? He's in Nazareth. First sermon in Nazareth, kind of like an inaugural address. He's reading from the scroll, Isaiah. He's proclaiming Jubilee, the day of the Lord's favor, today. And Jesus, when he finishes, he says, today this scripture is fulfilled. In your hearing. Because faith comes from the hearing of God's word, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ. Romans chapter 10. Today. And then you remember chapter 5, how the community carries one another. You carry me, I carry you, we carry each other, and Jesus carries all of us. Such faith. They removed those tiles on the roof, they lowered their friend down, the paralytic was healed. Today, Jesus is warned by the religious leaders. You better get out of here, Herod's after you. You remember, we've had these stories during the season of Lent each week. You remember. And what does Jesus say? You tell that fox here to get out of my chicken coop. They don't touch my chickens. Because today and tomorrow, which will be today, I cast out demons. I perform cures. And on the third day, I finish my course. That's the way it is. And nothing is going to stop Jesus because of the gift of today. And because God isn't forgetful, God's got perfect memory. And he chooses what? Jeremiah 31. To remember our sins no more. That's his choice. Well, what about today? Well, then you find out in Luke's gospel that there is this incident with Peter. Remember what he says? Peter says, even if the rest all forsake you, there is somebody right here that you can count on, Jesus. I'm not trying to brag, Peter probably said, but I'll go to death for you. I'll go to death with you. And Jesus says, today, heads up. I mean, you know what's happening. As soon as the disciples, the crowds, the people, as soon as the disciples hear the word today, they're going, whoops, something important's about to be said. I better turn my hearing aids up, right? And what happens? Today, before the cock crows, you will deny that you know me. And then today, he does. Ooh, what about Luke 19? Remember that wee little man? Wee little man, was he? Remember his name? Yeah, Zacchaeus. I mean, he was short, he climbed up a tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He was not exactly a good tax collector. He was a cheat, he was a thief. But God was working on his heart because he was a son, you know, son, daughter, child of Israel. He was a person of the covenant. So God was working on his heart to unharden it. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come on down. Oh, how about tomorrow or next week, Jesus? No, today. Right here, right now, today, get down here. Because I'm going to stay at your place. The word is abide. I'm going to remain with you. Whoa. And in that house, repentance happens. And what does the KSA? Well, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to restore fourfold restitution. And from now on, I give half of my goods away. Today is what he's talking about. Not next week, next month, not maybe, you know, for the very end of his life, but today. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. He's a child of the covenant, a child of the promise. And then, of course, we get to a narrative that you'll hear at the close of worship tonight. For Jesus will be asked, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And what happens? Well, the one thief is not speaking kindly. He's rebuking Jesus. But the one who defends him, he says this. Let me paraphrase, okay? I'm going to paraphrase. You should shut your mouth up. Because we are getting exactly what we deserve. We're getting justice. And justice is not going to be enough for us. But this man, he's innocent. This is wrong. He's defending Jesus before he prays to Jesus and asks to be remembered. And remembering is not just some kind of a cognitive thing that happens up here in the head. No, remembrance is participation in. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. I want to be a part of this kingdom. And Jesus says, today, heads up! Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. I didn't know the hymn that we sang before called Paradise. That's the nice thing about the internet. I Googled it, found it. Beautiful words that remind us that God is giving us heaven. But not just somewhere down the road. but in the present. As God works his miracles in our lives, our theme this year, remember, for Lent is the Easter miracle. And faith recognizes the hand of God in what others would say is luck and chance. We say, no, this is Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit at work for the glory of the Father. We know, and we declare, and we proclaim. Because we know the truth, we know the way, we know the life. It's been given to us as a gift from God himself. What does this look like? Well, the story I want to share with you is a familiar one to you. You remember the name Jessica McClure? October 1987. Some of you aren't old enough to remember that. But she was a year and a half old, was playing in her aunt's yard, and her mother took her off her just to answer the phone, and she fell into an abandoned well 22 feet down. 2.5 days, over 58 hours, trying to rescue her as she cried out for her mother. People across the United States, CNN was, I think, maybe the only, well, it was the start of this, you know, 24-hour news. It was all over the place. People all over were sending money. People all over the place were praying that God would perform a miracle and do what would be humanly impossible. That this little baby, year and a half old, would be saved. And she was on a Friday night. By the grace of God. But you see, these earthly miracles, they also come sometimes with a downside, because Jessica's mom and dad, with all kinds of tabloid stuff and this kind of stuff, they ended up getting a divorce. Now, 35 years later, you know, here's Jessica, all grown up, doesn't remember anything from that day. She's got a daughter that's 14 and another daughter that's 12 years old. She said, we're just normal people still living in Midland, Texas. They had, at the time, through the generosity of God's people, they got new cars for the McClures. Help with a house, so that they would have a house to stay. $1.2 million trust fund, so that Jessica would be able to go to school. She's had more than 15 surgeries with that one right foot. Been through a lot. And in the stock market crash of 2008, that fund is all gone. Lost it all. But in the midst of all of this that happened, the words of Jessica are these. God was on my side that day. My life is a miracle. And when she says God was on my side that day, it's not as though somehow God says, well, I'm going to be on your side, but not your side. I'll be on your side, but not your side. No, we're on God's side. God places us on his side, beside, abide. That's where we find paradise. We sometimes think of paradise, what, as a place? When for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's a relationship. A relationship is a whole lot different than some kind of a destination place, you know. Paradise. Wherever, whenever, always, today is the day that you receive paradise. When Jesus is your Lord, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's happening. Today, Luther in the Small Catechism and in the Large Catechism talks about, you know, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. When? How? Well, God's kingdom comes with and without our prayers. I mean, we don't make it happen. He reigns from the cross. It's his choice. He's sovereign. So, how? Luther says that it's when the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we might believe and that we might live. So that we might believe that Jesus is Lord and live a life here today and today and today and today. All for the good of our neighbor and the praise of Almighty God. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, April 8th, 1945. And he had just led a small kind of informal service of worship. At the close of the service, he had just ended the prayer when two people came in. It was obvious why they were there. It meant the gallows, the cross. And he said to a friend, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning." You see? He was talking about this is the end, all they can see is bios. But for me, it's the beginning of life. He was talking about Zoe, paradise, eternal life. Here, now, today, for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able. We'll be singing Ride On in Majesty to the tune of Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word. We continue with our confession of faith. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you this day for your Son Jesus. In him you have fulfilled all righteousness. Through his suffering and death, you have shown us that he is the promised Messiah, the one foretold in Scripture who would come to save your people. By his suffering and death, you have made possible the forgiveness of sin for all people. Help us to rejoice in this good news and to share it with all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, forgive us when at times we act like the crowd waving palm branches and saying Hosanna, and at other times through our words and deeds crucify our Lord anew. Lead us to confession and repentance. Remind us that we stand on holy ground in your saving presence. Grant us peace to walk with Jesus in humility through the week ahead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, we pray for your church here on earth. Fill her with faithful and humble disciples who will go out into the world and proclaim your message of love and forgiveness. Be with all servants of the gospel in positions of leadership, pastors and lay people. Give each of us courage and power to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, we lift up to you all in need of your healing touch. Grant healing of the body for the sick, comfort of the soul for the grieving, and bring peace to those whose minds race with worry or confusion, and those we name before you.
Gracious Father, so many people that we offer up to you. We pray for Carol Skirpin. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Lindsay Hofer and Travis Ruff, that you be with Sheldon and Linda, with Gerald and Letha, with Margaret and Leroy. We pray, Lord, for pastors who are suffering illnesses, Pastor Pat. We pray for Pastor Mike Lockerbie. We pray, Lord, your blessings of healing upon Melody Grave and Amy Cooper. We pray also, Lord, for Steve and Gina Larson, asking for your mercy in their life. Be with Pam, with Bob and Marcia, with Katie. Be with Natalie and Al. And Lord, we pray also for the Dalits in India, especially little Reuben. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to pour out your compassion and your mercy upon those in need.
Bless with healing all who put their trust and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, be with all who walk through the valley of the shadow of death and assure them of the gift of paradise. Comfort them with the hope of eternal life. Give them faith to entrust their dearly departed loved ones into your everlasting care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we won't be passing the offering plates tonight, but many ways that you and others online give, and on behalf of your Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your generosity and for all that you do to lift up the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. And so now we hear a portion of the Passion narrative from St. Luke's Gospel. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but Jesus made no answer. Then the chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before this, they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people. And he said to them, "You brought this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. The Passion Narrative of our Lord, according to St. Luke. We sing together, "My song is love unknown." Please join with me in our Passion Dialogue. The week of the Passion of our Lord has begun.
Holy Week has arrived.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.